This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, the road to WrestleMania begins Sunday. Welcome to your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. Great show. As always, this evening, we are a few fortnights. I don't even know what is the length of a fortnight. Towards the first chapter of the road to Dallas, to Jerry's house, and that is, of course, the Royal Rumble, which will be this Sunday night from the Amway Center in Orlando, Florida. I can't remember, when was the last Rumble in Florida? I think it's been a while. 2006? I'm going to look that up. But we got a lot to talk about tonight, including the Rumble card, and we'll talk about Raw as the start of the new year. Of course, our last episode, we talked about the year in review. We'll get into how things look in the beginning of 2016. But let me bring in my two compadres. My first guy is at the table, of course, one of the original Core Four, and he is chomping at the bit to discuss how AJ Styles will debut on Sunday. Will he be dressed as Demon Kane or Corporate Kane? Mr. Jordan Duncan.
All I know is he's probably going to lose to Tyler Breeze.
He's going to get thrown out by what's his name? The three-man band guy. He'll get thrown out by Heath Slater.
The social outcast?
Yes, exactly. AJ Styles will come out in a social outcast's t-shirt.
Right.
That's probably what he'll think.
I was thinking, I think you might be right on 2006 for the last Rumble in Florida. I'm not good with remember where stuff's from.
I'm looking right at the top of Wikipedia. Fifth Royal Rumble to be held in the state of Florida. 90, which was in Orlando. 91 was in Miami. 95 was in Tampa. And 06 was in Miami. So it'll be the first Rumble in the state of Florida in 10 years. Wow, because he used to love going there, as you could see.
Yeah.
But the last couple of years, of course, he's enjoyed cold weather locales. 2014.
Yeah, they got to get out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I know. 2014 was in Pittsburgh, where my PIC almost lost his guts. Mm-hmm. And then last year, of course, we were all in Philadelphia. Actually, 3 years ago, 2013 was in Phoenix. So I think that was the last one in warm weather. So anyway, JD, pleasure as always. Good to have you on for the new year, 2016. My other man on the table is a guy that I crave having on any show that I'm on. He is a consistent contributor to PlaceBeNation.com. He is also one of the co-hosts of the Kings of Sport. And now he, thanks to his performance the last two Christmases, will no longer have to be selling his signed pictures in the subway. The Godfather, Virgil Milton.
What is going on, brother? And I like to just announce, first of all, I'm glad to be back. Appreciate you having me on.
Always.
Second of all, I'd like to announce, since you brought up my great performances over the last couple of years, that the Academy has finally recognized a black performer, and they decided to nominate me for best impression on a wrestling podcast for 2015.
It might as well.
There's no whitewashing on Main Event.
No way.
Dark skin Aunt Viv, your protest worked.
That's right. Aunt Viv. That's right. Gotta love Aunt Viv. She yelled at her nephew's wife.
Yes, that's also why she was only a temporary Aunt Viv. Yes. And they brought in a replacement.
That's right. God rest his soul, Uncle Phil. We love you. Nate, it's always a pleasure to have you on, brother.
Good to be here, man. Good to be here.
All right, guys. Sunday, we are in Orlando for the first pay-per-view of 2016. For those that listened to the last episode, and I hope you all did, to the last episode of the Main Event, we kind of recapped 2015. And there were a few things we skipped or didn't get to. For instance, one guy that we didn't get to when we were talking about, 2015 for a guy in 2016 is the guy that's on the poster for the Royal Rumble, and that is your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns. Before we get into the Rumble itself, let's get into the shows. First off, let's talk about Has anybody watched the first two SmackDowns of 2016 yet? JD, you probably haven't. You barely watch anything.
I watched the first one with Morrow.
Okay.
Was that in 2016?
Yes, it was.
Okay, then right, I watched that one.
You've watched one with Mauro Ranallo on.
Yes.
All right, what do you think?
I think he's awesome. I've watched him on New Japan. He's great.
And he still does. He still does. You're a boxing guy, Nate, right?
Yeah.
He did Deontay Wilder on Saturday night. He did not him. He did the fight. I probably shouldn't have said he did the Bronze Bomber. No, he did the Deontay Wilder fight on Showtime on Saturday night. So I think he must work for both. And why not? If he's only doing that one show a week, why does he got to leave Showtime altogether? If anything, WWE should keep letting him do Showtime to start cross-promoting because boxing's kind of...
Oh, sure.
Because boxing's kind of showing a renaissance right now because we have some American heavyweight champions. We have Deontay Wilder. We have Charles Martin, right, who won the IBF title the same night. And, of course... Deontay Wilder is the WBC heavyweight champion. Quickly on a side note, before we move on, JD, I don't know if you caught this or not. I don't know how much boxing you watch. But, Nate, did you watch the Wilder fight?
Unfortunately, I did not have a chance to watch the Wilder fight.
Well, it was actually decent. The shot that he gave, whatever the Polish guy's name was, he cracked him right in the jaw. He was cooked. It was a good left jab right to the jaw, and he was – not jab. It was more like a left hook, and he kind of got out of nowhere, and he pretty much – be knocked him in next week.
Yeah, I think like what you're talking about, you know, real quick, Marks and I were speaking about this last year in the aftermath of the Mayweather fight, the
right.
Mayweather-Pacquiao, because that was kind of supposedly the end of boxing. Like once that happened, people weren't going to care about fighting anymore. But I think the opposite. You know, I think that because that fight was so poorly received and it was so greatly hyped and it didn't live up to that hype, that I think the people that were interested in boxing started seeking out some of the other, you know, venues to watch things. And you know, NBC, the Showtime, you know, I think there's been, I wouldn't say it's a full-fledged renaissance, but it's been a mini uptick, you know, in terms of people's expectations and people's interest in boxing. So I think that's a good thing.
Right.
And for the WWE to allow Moro to still do his outside commitments, I think that's smart of them because, like you said, it only raises their profile.
Exactly, and
it's going to entice other announcer types too. If they know they can, you know, go there and keep their other gigs, then they may be able to expand their voice.
Yeah, a little bit there. I absolutely agree. And after the fight, Tyson Fury, who is the WBA heavyweight champion,
sounds like a Street Fighter
kid. It is Tyson Fury. It does, right? He's British, and he beat Klitschko. Who did you watch that fight, Nate?
You want to call it a fight?
It sucked, right?
Yeah, it was.
What was wrong with him?
I mean, to be fair though, Klitschko's like 55. He's like Sting age.
Yeah, he's 55 on roids because he's still pretty ripped. Let's put it this way, JD. That fight was like watching. What's a good wrestling? It was kind of like the last like 5 minutes of the. Rollins Sting match from Night of Champions where it seemed like Rollins was doing all the work and Sting was just kind of like a piece of meat.
Gotcha.
I mean, like Klitschko threw like what'd he throw like 6 punches in 12 rounds? I mean, it was embarrassing. Anyway, Fury got in the ring after the fight Saturday and started like jaw jacking at Deontay Wilder. And Deontay Wilder eats this shit up. So they were jaw jacking at each other. It was pretty awesome.
I think they're planning on doing a rematch of that Klitschko fight.
Oh, for God's sakes! Why?
Yeah.
If Klitschko maybe airs.
Over in Arabia, the United Arab Emirates wants to host that fight. I'm like, why would you guys even want to bring that type of torment to your country?
I know exactly. You're already trillionaires anyway. So what do you need mindless entertainment like that for? Just put, you know, mini golf with golden balls on the roofs of your condos.
Some sheik is like, you know what? I want that for my son's birthday party. My Klitschko Fury 2.
My slumber party. Oh, God. Anyway, we could talk about boxing all the time. You could check out the newest episode of the Sports Evolution. Myself and the Cowboys talked a little boxing at the back end of that show, too, along with a lot of other good stuff. So, all right. Anyway, getting back to what you were saying, I think Mauro – what do you think, Nate? Have you watched either of the SmackDowns? Have you caught Mauro Ranallo at all?
I watched the first episode all the way through, and I watched bits and pieces of the second episode. And I think – you know, obviously, Mauro's great. I think my big disappointment with the show was not with Mauro. It was that – mm-hmm. Much like Impact on Pop TV, they didn't take the opportunity to do a whole lot different.
Yeah, I knew that's what you're going to go with that.
Yeah.
I'd agree.
I feel like in the first episode they did, when they had when they did the women's match and they did Owens and Ambrose for the IC belt. But yeah, honestly, the show itself, I mean, let's be honest, guys. They need new we need some new sets, we need some new graphics. It's about time for usually like every 6 years, Raw usually needs an upgrade, and we haven't had a Raw change in what? 12 years probably? Maybe 11 years? When was the last time Raw actually changed its logo? Like 2005? 2006? It's got to be at least 10 years.
Yeah. It's looked the same for a long time.
And SmackDown's had the same logo since God knows how long. 2002, probably?
Bring back the fist.
I love the fist. The fist was awesome. Might as well have kept it. They should have used the fist.
Right?
No one ever pulled the fist out of the wall and like beat somebody with it. It sounds like a Brock Lesnar thing. But that's the one thing. I think I brought this up with Willie and Graham on the last show, that I think one of the key things that makes it seem like the shows are bland is that we need new sets and we need some new graphics. And it's just getting and I'm sorry, but is it me? Let me ask you this, JD. Is it me or is Byron Saxton just utterly useless? Does he bring anything to either show? I'd rather have Cole, JBL on one show and Mauro and King on the other show. Because they seem to be doing all the talking, and what is he adding to the conversation? Nothing.
Yeah, not a ton. I don't place all the blame on him. I think on Raw, a lot of times he gets talked over and talked down to a little bit, so I can't place all the blame on him, but it's not working. The need for a three-man booth obviously isn't there, and if you take a third guy out, then you can open up to like when Owens does commentary, who does a good job and you know makes that guest that sits in. I was watching a show today. What was I watching? Oh, the 40-man Rumble I turned on and I was watching. And Miz was on commentary near the end of that. And I think if you replace a third guy with, you know, guests and things like that, it's just another way to get guys to get some voice work and some practice and things like that. And what can it hurt? You know what I mean? So I don't think he's as bad on the one SmackDown I watched, but I didn't really notice him either. So he's not, like, remarkable. He's not like, oh, yeah, this guy's good. I think on Raw, where he comes off bad is not just on him, though. I think Cole especially seems to just interrupt him and ignore him half the time.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. I don't think he's anything special.
Yeah, I don't know what he's bringing to the table, and I just feel it's just too many voices.
Mm-hmm. It's redundant, like you said, because he's a straight man. And you can't have him and Mauro because Morrow's obviously better, and it negates the need for Saxton there. And the same with Cole, even though I think there's probably weeks where I'd rather have Byron and JBL rather than Cole being there. But, you know, when you look at him on NXT, it's a different story because he's not a duplicate. He's not a carbon copy of somebody else that's already there. So
right.
I think if you've got somebody that – they need a Mike Tenay is what they need. Not specifically Mike Tenay, but they need – the analyst guy, because JBL and King are kind of the same type of character.
Right.
Cole and Mauro serve the same purpose. They need maybe like the nuts and bolts kind of guy like Taz was when he was on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. That's a good analogy.
Regal.
Yeah. Or Regal.
Oh, Regal would be great.
Regal would be fantastic. I agree with that 100%. One guy, like I said, I'm going to overlap the year in review thing a little bit, because there was one guy who I forgot to mention on that last show, and we'll talk about him now before we get into the 2016 stuff proper. Roman Reigns had a unusual 2015. I was in Philadelphia 1 year ago, along with Armento and the rest of the and D'Amato and the rest of the PTB Misfits. And it was ugly. When you get when Rock tries to save your bacon, and in the end, instead of him siphoning face heat on you, you're siphoning heel heat on him. That's bad. That's real bad. Fast forward 12 months later, premise is the same. He's still not the WWE World Heavyweight. Well, at the end of the calendar year, yes. After another loss, and I was at that one too. I was at the first pay-per-view of the year, and I was at the last pay-per-view of the year. And it was two different crowds. Because in Boston, at TLC, the crowd was slowly starting to get won over. And by the end of that match, you could have sworn he was going to beat Sheamus. Mm-hmm. And instead of calling an audible, I remember sitting next to JR, and him and I were both thinking they should have called an audible. They just stuck with the script and let Sheamus win and then finished. They tried to get the heat back by having him beat the shit out of Triple H. And then one night later, they just gave him the belt anyway. Which I just, whatever that. Nate, talk about Roman Reigns' year. And I think he has, I mean, he hasn't totally won the whole fan base over, but he's definitely in better shape now than he was on January 1st of 2015. Talk about his year and kind of what do you think got him over as the 12 months progressed in 2015?
I think to use the catchphrase from one of TNA's most misguided angles, the legendary Claire Lynch storyline, maybe it's a case of Stockholm Syndrome to some degree with the fans. Because, you know, we realize this is all we got. You know, John Cena, to paraphrase somebody else, to paraphrase Rick Pitino with the Celtics, John Cena's not walking through that door. Sting's not walking through that door. And so I think it's a combination of that as well as the fact that they've pulled out some major stops to bolster this guy, you know, in terms of him versus the Authority and bringing Vince McMahon back in and really making it seem like, you know, this is Stone Cold Redux. And also having Sheamus as champion might have been one of the biggest things because even if you're a fan out there that hated Roman Reigns, there's no way you hate anybody else more than Sheamus.
Right.
As your top guy. So I think that it's a combination of things. And also, for all the hate that Roman gets online, I think that fans, hardcore fans, fail to realize that they are not the primary audience for this program. And there's a lot of kids out there that love Roman Reigns. And so by measure of that, there's a lot of families out there and fathers and mothers that are taking their kids to these shows, and they're going to cheer Roman Reigns because that's who their kids cheer. And so I think that Roman is in a much better spot than he was this same time last year. But I do think a lot of it has been done with, you know, smoke and mirrors and giving them crutches and booster seats and doing whatever they can to make you like this guy or at least not hate this guy.
I like that. I think it's a good theory. What do you think? What are your thoughts, JD? I mean, you were not a Reigns fan throughout most of the year.
Yes and no. Like, I've never been a fan of how he's presented. I mean, once the bell rings, the guy's good. I think he's a good wrestler. I don't think he's the best wrestler, and I think part of why he's had a hard time getting over is, you know, being a good wrestler alone really isn't enough anymore because you look at the roster, who's a bad wrestler on the roster right now? You know, being a good wrestler is great, but when you have great wrestlers like Cesaro and other guys, just being good, people are still going to resent you for it, if that makes sense.
No, I see what you're saying. The bar is very high right now.
Right, exactly. I think there's a couple issues with him that have nothing to do with him. And that's the hardest part to overcome is if it's not anything that he does or anything that he can do, how can he ever change fans' opinions? I think it's all really in his presentation and things like that. I think having him talk less is obviously the best strategy. Mm-hmm. Because that's where I think he's shakiest. And maybe having him on SmackDown more may have helped him, you know, throughout this year, because you can tape those promos and you can retape them if you have to and things like that.
Right.
excuse me. I think one of the biggest issues with Reigns that is glaring to me, and there was actually a discussion on the Place to Be live chat page today, is you look at Roman Reigns, now we're into 2016, rewind a little bit and go watch him in, when did they debut? End of 2012?
Night of, what, The Shield?
Yeah, or 13.
Survivor Series 12.
12.
Yep, that night.
He looks exactly the same, still. He has the exact same theme music, you know, I think one thing that actually people, I don't know why, because it doesn't really bother me, but the people kind of detest is the vest, you know, is things like that. And again, that's not Roman Reigns' fault. You know, that's all on how they're marketing him, how they're presenting him. So
right.
I think he's always going to be fighting an uphill battle. But I think what to spring on what Nate said, I think where they kind of figured it out at the end of the year is instead of having him, you know, be the guy that wins the Rumble when Daniel Bryan was in there, or be the guy that beats this dude that other fans like, they figured out, well, who do fans hate more? Okay, let's put him in the ring with Sheamus, because you're going to make him cheer for Roman Reigns eventually. You know, and then you send Triple H out there who can for all the complaints people have about Triple H, the guy is still a phenomenal heel, I think, on screen. And I think they figured out, like, okay, well, if we want people to cheer him, we've got to find people that they want to boo more. And it's not rocket science, you know, but they seem to finally have figured it out a little bit. Now, once he's in the ring with the likes of Brock, we'll see if that holds. I don't know.
I definitely like your theory about his presentation. I mean, Dean Ambrose looks different now.
Right, yeah, and that's what I was going to mention. I totally skipped that. But you look at Ambrose now, you look at Rollins now, they look nothing like what they debuted. But Roman Reigns looks exactly the same. He even still has the Shield music outside of the...
And all of his t-shirts look like Shield t-shirts.
Right, yeah.
I after watching a lot of Reigns the last, like, 4 months, both on TV and seeing him live... He wrestles almost exactly like The Rock did. He has his, like, three major things, which is that flying kick on the apron, the Superman punch, which I can't stand. I got to admit, the Superman punch is about as annoying as the five-knuckle shuffle. and the spear, and he hits a good spear. I'll give him that. He jacks guys up pretty good. He cracked Brock twice on Monday.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Rock with the people's elbow and the Rock bottom. They serpentine the rest of the show with a lot of power moves and things like that. Nothing really that's going to set the world on fire, but they do kind of, you know, intertwine their big moves into other stuff. So I feel like Rock and Reigns almost do wrestle the same. The difference, obviously, is Rock has charisma through the roof, and
sure.
And Reigns has charisma maybe up to the second rope. Since winning the title that night after TLC, has it changed for him? Now that he finally has it, do you think it's been for the better for him? Nate, I'll start with you.
I do, in the sense that, you know, at least people have to accept it now. Whereas before, when, you know, he's in the Rumble and he's chasing, or, you know, it's WrestleMania and it's him and Brock, and then Rollins intervenes, you know, there's, if you're a Roman Reigns hater, you're like, oh, you know, at least he won't win the title, or I don't want to see him win the title. Now he's got the title. So now it becomes, as a fan, how do you accept that? How do you react to that? And they've done a great job with putting the trappings around him, you know, Triple H, Stephanie, Vince, like, these are easily hateable people, as Jordan alluded to. And so I think that he's probably gotten a little bit more comfortable. People are getting used to him. I will disagree with you on that Superman punch, though, because I think obviously it's not the greatest move in the world, but the element I like about it, and I think what fans might be reacting to, is that it's kind of like DDP with the Diamond Cutter. Or Orton, you know, with the RKO, in that he can hit it from a variety of different spots.
That's true.
And, you know, that element of, we know he's going to do this move, but we don't know where it's going to come or what angle or what situation it's going to come. I think that keeps people, you know, if not totally invested, at least interested in seeing his matches.
Like Monty Brown's pounce.
Oh, nah,
really? Nah. You're going to be the only one, Nate, that's going to do TNA references tonight? No way.
I feel like, who's your man? Was it Lloyd Benson that hit Dan Quayle and shut him down in that debate with the JFK line?
Oh, yeah.
Like Scott, I knew Monty Brown. I watched Monty Brown. Roman Reigns,
know
Monty Brown.
You know Monty Brown. There is only one Marcus Corbin. You're going down. I think I might start playing that, Nate, when you come on future main events.
Oh, that was a great theme song.
Love that theme.
Terrible character. Like, I don't know what they thought. Like, let's take this guy that's already established a pretty good character in TNA, and let's do something exactly the opposite.
Yeah. And then he ended up leaving because he had family issues or something. Yeah. Somebody was sick, his aunt or his sister or something, and they never saw him again, which is a bummer. I love Monty Brown. I love the character in TNA, and I thought the pounce was a great finisher.
Like, one of my favorite moments in TNA ever is still that moment where – the pay-per-view at the old asylum, and it was on fire. and they had to kill like 15 minutes while they, you know, took care of the fire. And Tanae's just going backstage with JB, cut, you know, talking to people to fill time. And Brown cuts like this 3-minute promo just off the top of his head. It's like, this guy was good.
Right. He was. He was. And he was part of that new breed. And he was a guy I could easily see like winning the ECW title at the time. And then he got, you know, and then personal things happened and we haven't really seen him again. But you're talking about, but I mean, seriously though, I mean, I'm half kidding, but the Pounce was another one of those moves you can kind of do out of nowhere. I just liked Monty Brown, but all right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I don't know. The whole cocking your arm and everything just seems so dopey. It just seems like real dopey, but that's all right. That's fine. I don't hate Cena, and the five knuckle shuffle is one of the most irritating moves. I mean, it's probably as bad as a people's elbow, I guess. But I feel like now that Reigns has the belt and the fans are somewhat resigned to it, I think they've kind of grown on the fans. I think he's grown on them. What we were saying, Nate, before you came out, I was talking to JD, is what's not doing WWE any favors are these last couple of weeks of Raw crowds. New Orleans is, and I don't know about Columbus. Columbus always goes up and down. New Orleans is historically, and this is not a knock on my boy Andrew Reich, but New Orleans is historically a good crowd. And that crowd last Monday was putrid. And honestly, Columbus this past Monday was really no better.
Yeah.
The crowds were horrific. And good or bad, you need some juice. You need some juice. For instance, and we talked about it on this week's Place to Be podcast when JR and I did Unforgiven 05. You got a brand new pay-per-view crowd in Oklahoma City, and they were buzzing the whole show, even during some of the stinker stuff. And you got these established wrestling crowds in New Orleans, in Columbus. There's been pay-per-views in Columbus. Great pay-per-view in New Orleans, Royal Rumble 01.
I was at a pay-per-view in Columbus this past year.
In Columbus, Ohio. You look nothing like Frankie Williams, and boy, aren't you lucky!
Appreciate it.
All right, JD, how was that crowd?
It was excellent.
Now that was Money in the Bank, right?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what the hell happened Monday night? I mean, they were putrid.
I don't know.
Let me tell you something. I've been to the same crowd. I was in the same building twice for two different types of events. I was at SummerSlam at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and I was at the last Raw of the year in Brooklyn. And Brooklyn crowds, maybe it's just me, my Northeast bias, but the Brooklyn crowd rocked. And that crowd at SummerSlam, and I was talking to Dr. G, and him and I have been to plenty of wrestling shows. That was the best live crowd I think I've ever been. And I've been to the Garden. I was at WrestleMania 20. And, you know, for the Lord Voldemort of professional wrestlers, he who must not be named. But even that pales. I mean, it was a good moment. But the crowd in Brooklyn at SummerSlam was one of the greatest live crowds I ever saw in my life. Even to see what you thought was a stinker of a main event between Taker and Brock, still the crowd was electric for it.
You know, I think the guys responded to the crowd being electric because everyone expected it to stink and then it didn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a little more critical of crowds now since I've been to a myriad of shows this year. I mean, I was at the Rumble in Philly, and that was a crazy crowd. I was at SummerSlam, and then I was at TLC. Three crazy crowds and three very weird circumstances. And only one of them didn't really involve Roman Reigns in a central situation. So
I think the way you view a crowd is, if they're dead by the end of the show and the show is terrible, then I don't blame the crowd. Mm-hmm. But if they're dead at 8:05, come on.
Yeah,
you know
I agree.
I mean? Like,
yeah,
like,
something's
go to the
wrong.
Show and get excited. You know, yeah. First match, stand up, start screaming and hollering, get into it. When I go to a live show, especially if I take my kids, I will scream and yell and obnoxious. I want them to do it too because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, you cheer and boo and do all that kind of stuff. So if you're going and you're just sitting on your hands because you expect it to suck, well, then they got your money. Who cares? You know,
right?
I don't know. I won't blame a crowd if the show is terrible. But if the crowd's dead, like I said, 30 minutes into the show, that's their fault. You know?
I agree.
So
yeah.
I think you got to give it a little time to decide that the show sucks, you know?
Now, Nate, what's the best live crowd you were ever at and the worst live crowd you were ever at?
Oh, the best live crowd I was ever at was probably a Raw in Hampton. And it was, man, it's probably 5 or 6 years ago by now, maybe even longer. But it was the night Punk came back. The night that they had the title tournament and Cena beat Ray.
That would be 2011.
Yep, yep. And Cena had beaten Ray, and then at the very end of the night, you had the stare down between Punk and Cena with their respective titles.
Mm-hmm.
Like that crowd, because I guess, you know, we knew that there's a chance Punk could show up, and this was during his long hiatus. You know, so there was definitely an energy in the arena that night, the Coliseum, if you will. But yeah, that was probably the best crowd I've ever been a part of. The worst crowd I've ever been a part of was way back in the day, and it was at the Norfolk Scope, and this was at an NWA house show. And I think the main event was Doom versus the Dynamic Dudes.
See, yeah, that would be
example of not blaming the crowd.
Like the most entertaining thing about that whole show was during that match, besides Teddy Long and Jim Cornette going back and forth, which was always great. Some little kid in front of me looked like Ron Howard from what was it? Andy Griffith. He looked like Opie on Andy Griffith. And he out of nowhere, he stands up on a chair. He's like, "You want a piece of me, Doom? I'll kick your ass." And I'm like, wait, this little Alfred E. Newman 8-year-old kid is up here. Granted, I wasn't that much older. I was probably 11 at the time. But this little kid is up there on his chair challenging Butch Reed and Ron Simmons to a fight.
Obviously, they were already unmasked, I guess, if they knew, since you knew who were.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This was right after the unmasking.
So that was probably, what, 90?
I'm going to say early 90s.
90, like I think in 1991, because by 92, Simmons, Butch Reed was gone, and Simmons was already kind of in that main event mix with Vader and Sting and those guys. So I'm probably thinking, oh, when do they face the Horsemen for the tag straps? That was Capital Combat, and that was what, like May 90? So you're right. I'm probably thinking maybe 90.
Yeah, because I want to say that because the Dynamic Dudes weren't there too much longer after that.
No.
Yeah. 90, 91 probably.
Good old Johnny Ace.
Best crowd I was ever at was probably this past year's SummerSlam. That crowd was fantastic. And WrestleMania 20 was pretty good, too. And WrestleMania 29 at MetLife was pretty awesome. Worst crowd, I think I went to it was a Raw in Hartford. I think it was fall 2000. And they sucked. But I never liked Hartford crowds anyway. They're Northern Connecticut, they blow. And, you know, I was a New Haven kid, so we used to go to the old Coliseum, which was close to my house. And there was I went to so many great Raws and house shows and stuff there. But that crowd in Hartford was pretty awful. I don't think I've been to a wrestling show there since. Now, we are also going to be on Sunday in a very unique setting because, I mean, Florida crowds are good. But they've never been considered like Philly or, you know, Boston, sure, or the Garden or Providence or Chicago or DC even. They're good, but you know, they're not great. We'll get into that question when we get into the show itself. How has the build been to this point? JD, what do you think of how Reigns has interacted with the Authority? Obviously, we've not seen, I love kayfabe. WWE kayfabe, Triple H is out with injuries. NXT kayfabe,
he's there.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
The fact that they're just flaunting it makes it even more great. Mm-hmm. Logic. It's wrestling. Who gives a shit? That's what I've always said. Fan for 30 something years.
One is Triple H. One is Hunter.
Precisely. Yes, Hunter. One's a husband. Well,
there's corporate trips, and then of course there's demon trips.
There's demon trips. No fake hair on either of them. So, JD, what do you think of Reigns' interaction with Stephanie? And first of all, Stephanie's unbelievably annoying for many reasons anyway. But
sure.
Has his interaction with her helped him or hurt him?
I don't think it's hurt him, because a lot of times when you put someone in there with Stephanie, it does hurt them because they write it in a way where the person will back down or listen or she'll outsmart them. And he hasn't done that, which is, I think, critical, that he hasn't, like, backed off or he hasn't been afraid. Like, you know, she came out and threatened him and he hit Vince, you know, anyways, and stuff like that. And I think that helps him. I think we were talking about this earlier, Scott, you and I. I think the worst part of the authority interaction with Reigns and stuff has been Vince. You know, I think Vince has flubbed lines and screwed stuff up. He really messed up the finish of that Roman-Sheamus match. But I think what they've done really well is haven't had Roman back away in fear or act scared of the authority or anything like that. He's doesn't care what they say. You know, he's like, okay, fine. Okay, I'll fight whoever, you know. I mean, he acts frustrated, which he should be, and he acts upset, which he should be. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really important that they don't have him, like, cower to words, because that's not what a tough guy does, you know. Right. So in that sense, I think it's been good. The bigger issue is that it's a rehash of a storyline that we've seen a million times. But just to answer how Roman has done, has it hurt him or helped him? I think it's probably helped him more than it's hurt him. I don't think it's hurt him.
What do you think, Nate?
I think it's been a fairly solid build. I think that it could have been a lot better. I think we could have focused on a lot more other people instead of this exclusive laser beam like focus on Roman. But yeah. You know, that being said, I think that I agree that the interaction with Stephanie has not hurt him. I don't know to what extent it's helped him though, because the one glaring thing, like I'm glad that he hasn't been shown as a punk or been shown as subservient. Like they booked Roman in this spot better than they booked Seth Rollins. To be honest,
yeah,
you know,
because
Seth Rollins was always like running back to mommy and daddy in Triple H to Stephanie. But the only downfall I could see in this is Stephanie, even as annoying as she is so much better on the mic than Roman. And it shows every time they interact.
Right.
When he has to come back with a snappy comeback, it's not there.
Right.
It's like the dumb jock. Yeah.
Right. So from that aspect, I haven't liked it, but everything else has been pretty good. I think when you talk about the Vince McMahon aspect, other than that first night when Roman won the title, which was a really great night of wrestling, I have not liked Vince's involvement. I think that he's somebody who is a great performer, but at this age, it's the law of diminishing returns.
Right.
And if you see Vince every week, he's not special anymore. And so I think maybe we should have spaced out the Vince involvement in this storyline. But overall, I'd say it's been more positive than negative in terms of Roman's booking towards the Rumble.
I think something that Nate said that I agree with is, you know, the laser beams on Roman. I think what could have made it better is if, you know, the first couple of weeks it was Roman and the Usos and Dean. And those three have kind of fallen by the wayside. Now it's just Roman. Like, I think it was like he had a crew that stuck up for him and that was fighting with him. You know, like a crew against the authority. I think that could be more compelling, and you could do a little bit more with it other than, okay, what's Roman got to do this week? And that's a problem that they're facing is that, again, another problem, it's not Roman Reigns' fault, is that they're trying to make an entire 3-hour show about one guy, mm-hmm. which is never going to work no matter what guy it is. You could bring The Rock back, and if the whole 3 hours is about one storyline, it's just not going to last consistently. For a couple weeks, you might have a hot show, but it's right. going to fizzle pretty quick.
Right. Well, let's talk about the other guys on the roster, or sure. the other guys that have been highlighted for the moment.
Sure.
Let's talk about this League of Nations. Sheamus, Barrett, Del Rio, and
Rusev.
Rusev. Rusev's cooked. He's done. They shot that load. He's lost all his bluster.
Yeah.
A year ago with the awesome tank entrance and everything, and now he's just some, you know, incoherent crony. What do you guys think of Del Rio coming back? I've enjoyed him, to be honest with you. He looks like he's on the juice, but I have enjoyed
him. Oh, yeah.
Him.
Oh, gosh.
He's like his veins are like – he's not
he looks
thick.
Like he's going to pop.
Yeah, he's not thick, but he's certainly not like the guys that Justin and I have been watching in 2005. Oh, my God. Everybody's head was going to fucking pop off their necks. Oh, my God. But but he's definitely like – he's striated? Is that the word I'm thinking of? His skin seems so tight. And there's fucking veins flying everywhere, but he's not like overly jacked. But in any event, that's just an observation. But I'm glad he's back, though. I'm glad he's back, even though he's on roids. No. I mean, if they outlive their usefulness, are they just back to being mid-card goofs, Nate, now that Sheamus is kind of done and probably will never see the belt again?
I think so, because this is something that, and, you know, I wasn't the person that came up with this, but, you know, I got to give credit where credit is due, John Pollock at the Fight Network. It's like, this is something that they should have had in motion months beforehand.
Right. Yeah.
Where Sheamus has this collective around him. He's got his thugs, so to speak. And, you know, they help him achieve the title. And then the story is Roman going through all these obstacles to get to the belt. Right. But instead, we went the other way around. Sheamus has already got the belt. So what does he need these guys for? Mm-hmm. And right. they like if you're watching the show every week, they have not really helped that much. And you've got all of these guys who should be benefiting from this association. But instead, I think everybody's coming out a little bit diluted. And you talk about Del Rio, who is somebody that I was excited, you know, to see when he when it was announced that he had signed back with the company. And I think he individually has done well, but I think that they could have done better in terms of setting him up in the best chance to succeed. I think the deal with Zeb off the bat was a little bit convoluted.
Yeah, and kind of forced. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that the ideally, you know, you would have wanted him to come back, especially out in California, where was it Night of Champions when he came back?
No, Hell in a Cell.
Out there in California, you know, you'd want him to come back as this conquering babyface that is, you know, speaking for his people, especially in the year of Donald Trump. And it's like, man, there was so much ground to be kind of tilled there, but they haven't done that. But that's not to say that Del Rio's done a bad job. It's just I think they've had a bad job in terms of what they want to do with him, and the League of Nations is kind of reflective of that. You've got guys that are really talented, even Sheamus, but because of their association together, you don't really care.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, JD?
Yeah, I agree with that for the most part. And they're just kind of like a group of bumbling oafs. You know, like the four of them will pinpoint one guy and they always wind up losing and they always wind up like hitting each other and stuff like that. Like, which ultimately, you know, that's how a heel group loses in the long run, but they shouldn't be losing like that every week. You know, I think it's hurt Rusev the most. Because Sheamus wasn't, you know, a hot commodity to begin with. Del Rio, I think maybe putting him with them is better than where he was with Zeb. And Barrett just stands there and doesn't do anything because what's up with him? Like, do we know what his injury is?
I mean, his injury seems like it's like ridiculously long term.
Yeah, because he like doesn't even get touched.
Yeah, you know? I don't get it.
But Rusev's the one I think that's really hurt from it the most because he seems to be the one that eats the pins. And you know, you get rid of Lana and you get rid of him as a personality, and he's just a muscle for a group, basically, that doesn't need muscle because you got Sheamus right there. So
right.
It's a cool concept on paper. You know, if you were to 6 months ago say, hey, Sheamus and Rusev and Wade Barrett are going to be a stable and then they're going to bring Del Rio back, I think people would be like, oh, that sounds freaking awesome. But they just haven't done anything. It's just a lot of spinning wheels, which I think is something you could say about a lot of people right now in the company.
Right.
On paper, it looks awesome, but in execution, something's not there. Part of it is, I mean, who are they feuding with? Anyone? I guess Roman Reigns, but not really.
I guess they're authority muscle, if you will.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, guys, why don't we take a break? Okay. Great segment. Awesome job, as always. When we come back, we'll break the card down, because it's almost like a glorified Night of Champions. All belts on the line.
Woo-hoo.
And kind of a neato, I guess you could say, WWE Network match or whatever the hell it's for on the pre-show. So when we come back here on the main event, we will preview the Royal Rumble pay-per-view or network special, whatever the hell it's called. More main event after this. Because...
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Main Event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. And relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We got sports covered too with the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast and the TJ McClune Show. PTBN tackles pop culture and irreverence with Richard and the Mailman, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, and if you like a hybrid of all of this in list form, check out Jordan Duncan's Rank and File. All of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tourneaments and more. We want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network. That's the PWO PTBN Podcast Network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Team's Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
You're going down, down, down. Just come and smooth. Watch me do what I do. Laying down perfect groove. I'm liquid smooth in Gucci shoes. And the ladies know that I'm the man. But you just don't lose. I wanna be who never be. Anything but born to lose.
And welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to the main event. Scott Criscolo, Jordan Duncan, the godfather, Nate Milton. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. At the top of the website right now, if you can ignore the ugly mug that's on the front of the screen, we've got a pretty good episode of Rank and File, Mr. Duncan.
Some people think it's a handsome mug.
Some. Your daughter doesn't count. your wife barely likes it.
That's true.
Tell us about, the newest episode.
Yeah, I brought in your PIC, Justin Rosero, and straight out of California, Todd Weber.
T-Web!
Yeah, it was a nice get there. Haven't heard from him in a while. And we talked about our top 10 Royal Rumble performances. Not performers, but performances. So individual Rumble runs.
Just tell Todd that Steve is on a lot of them.
Yeah, and sounds good.
Yeah. How many were Steve in?
I know 97 Steve is on the list a couple times.
There you go.
A couple of our lists.
And, just to let people know, in case you're new listeners, and Nate may not know this either, Todd Weber is, of course, one of our oldest PTB followers, and he's an awesome guy. He lives out in Cali. Big Kings fan, so I used to jab him about Shaq and Kobe and the Lakers in 02. But he used to get so mad because, for some reason, I think this is back the times that, you know, as long as I've known Dr. G, that whenever I talk about Stone Cold Steve Austin, I just call him Steve. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, man, Steve's coming on tonight. Because it's only Steve I really think of. Like, Steve Regal's gone. It's William
Urkel.
Regal.
Maybe it's Steve Urkel.
Steve Urkel. So he used to drive it, like, in the earliest episodes of the Place to Be podcast, when I used to say, yeah, when Steve debuts in 96, and I used to drive Todd Weber absolutely bonkers. I think it was him. I think Rob Houston was the other one that used to get all pissed off. But anyway, Todd's an awesome guy. It's good to have him back in the fold. The staff did the PTBN's Royal Rumble rebook. What they did was, since this year's Rumble is actually for the belt, they rebooked every Rumble and picked who they thought would win if every Rumble was for the belt. And of course, not counting, they skipped 92.
No, 92's in there.
Did they do 92?
Yeah,
I just started reading it, so I didn't get that far down.
I was one of the contributors, so we had the option of picking someone other than Flair.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that far down.
One person did.
I didn't get that far down, so.
Yeah.
But so check it out.
Glenn Butler picked someone other than Flair.
Glenn Butler. So we love Glenny Bunn. So check out the PTBN's Royal Rumble rebook. They rebooked every Rumble if the world title was on the line in all of them. the newest episode, the newest edition of the excellent WWE Network Adventure. JD, you got to hop on this at some point. I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah, I've read a couple of them. They're cool.
Yeah, they're fun. What we're doing is, Nate, I don't know if you know this, is we are myself and a few gentlemen, my PIC, Mr. Rosero, Chad Campbell, Jason Greenhouse, Dan McGinn, we're watching everything on the network in chronological order. And it goes all the way back to the first thing we did was the March 17th, 1975 house show, which I hope to never watch again. today we released the episode of World Class Championship Wrestling from March 7th, 1983. So, we watch it, we give our observations, biggest surprises, disappointments, etc. So check it out. The PTBN's excellent WWE Network Adventure, myself, JR, Chad Greeny, and Dan McGinn. And we this week's episode is World Class Championship Wrestling from March 7th, 1983. I keep saying episode. It's not a podcast. It's a written piece.
Who was in charge of coming up with the master list of chronology there? That's got to be daunting to figure out.
Well, I know Justin started it, and I pretty much have taken it over. So anytime I see it, I just add. It all depends, because actually, it's funny you bring that up, JD, because there's a Twitter handle to follow. I think it's at WWE Network Updates.
They announce what gets added.
Yeah. And right now, the only thing – I only have the list, the master list, through the end of the 80s. So I think the last thing on the list is Starrcade 89. And we haven't dived into the 90s yet because, it's going to take forever. But
it's going to be a while. Yeah.
It's going to be a while. So we're sticking with we're barely out of 1983 yet. So really into 1983. So anyway, check it out. Glenn Butler, speaking of Glenny Bunn, his regular Wednesday walker on the web. His podcast hour spectacular episode 4. Didn't we already talk about Star Wars? to talk more about The Force Awakens. By the way, big news today. Turns out episode 8, which was supposed to come out in May of 2017, is now going to be December of 2017.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know. I'm not concerned. If they think it'll be better in, if they need the extra months, I'd rather it be a better movie and I'll wait longer. So I'm not concerned.
You know why, though? Because, now that Billy Dee signed on, they got to make this big arc for Lando.
That's right. That's right. He could be smuggling Colt 45s in Bespin. I mean,
Say, hey, Black Stormtrooper, I'm your daddy.
Yeah. Like, the only other black man in the galaxy.
Related. It's just us. We're the only two.
He looks at Leia. He'll go, hello, what have? Ooh, God. what happened to you, lady? You look like bacon now. Anyway,
carbonite.
45 for this.
Hey, what'd you say? You look like you've lived in carbonite?
Yeah.
Anyway, check out Glenny Bunn's new podcast, Hour Spectacular. Mr. Bayless has your Raw rundown from this past week's Drek in Columbus, although I don't think it was a show. I think it was a crowd. And speaking
Here's
of my PIC.
Lifesaver, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of my PIC, him and I, newest episode of the Place B podcast, episode 392, as I mentioned actually in segment one, we did Unforgiven 2005. We're getting to that point now, guys, and I mentioned this on the show, and continue listening, obviously. But I think we're going to start getting into that era in WWE history where the pay-per-views are going to be a little more vague when you try to recollect them. And that's what I think is going to be fascinating, even for him and I watching them. Because there's a few people, including Chad Campbell, who's almost as big an encyclopedia as anybody else is. And even he said, who the hell was on that show? I mean, we all know it's Cena Kurt because they're on the poster. But a lot of people forget some of the other matches or how good they are. For instance, we lauded Shawn Michaels and Chris Masters. And JD's like, what, we both drunk? Watch that match.
No, I remember that match, yeah.
Yeah, watch that show. Anyway, watch it and then listen to us. Episode 392 of the Place B podcast.
Mentioned earlier that you're in that era where guys are jacked to the gills.
Yeah, that in 2005.
Chris Masters.
The worst one is Kerwin White / Chavo. I mean, his head, literally, after when he...
Like a pumpkin.
Yeah, his head literally looks like a blonde pumpkin head. It's ridiculous. Any event, placebnation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Of course, on the right, click on the Amazon link. I know it's after Christmas, but I'm sure you still all buy things. Click on the link, buy what you buy, and we get a little piece back to help run the site. So we thank you in advance. But, prices don't go up or anything. Just buy your stuff. Just at the end, Amazon cuts a little slice and sends it our way. So check it out. And, of course, check out my PICs and my free ebook, the Place to Be Nation's Vintage Vault Refreshes. Volume 1 is the Federation Era. Click on it. I think you go to Barnes and Noble. Yes, Barnes and Noble, and completely free. And we redo our vaults from WrestleMania 1 to Survivor Series 1992. So check it out. PlacementNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, guys. Let's get into the Rumble. We do have a pre-show match, which actually has some kind of intrigue to it. It is a Fatal 4-Way Tag Match for the last two spots in the Rumble match.
I have no idea of this match.
Yep, it's it is Darren Young and Damian Sandow. What a fucking weird team is that?
Yeah,
the Dudleys. And of course, Bubba Ray made his debut, made his return last year at the Rumble in Philly, and the place went fucking apeshit. It was great. It was a great moment. The Ascension, poor bastards. I tried my best, JD. Come on, I tried my best.
Yeah,
for like a year and a half. And
you fought the good fight, man.
I fought the good fight, and they just bombed. And then Mark Henry and Jack Swagger. What the hell?
Wow.
What kind of mishmash is this? Winner of the tag team that wins this match will get two slots in the Rumble.
Is Fatal 4-Way, is that elimination style? How do they...
No, that won't be... No, it's not an elimination. It would have said elimination.
Just first pin wins.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go for... Fuck it. I'm going to say the Dudleys. Because, you know, they'll be cool in the Rumble. Nate?
Yeah, I think just looking at the options available, the Dudleys would have to be the go-to team, and I think this sets up maybe a bit of a breakup during the Rumble, and we might get that Bully Ray singles heel run that we've been asking about.
I've been pumped about that. I would love to see, because that's one aspect. The one thing I did like about watching TNA when the fuck did I watch it? Was it 2013? When did he fight Styles at Bound for Glory? When they ripped the Sting fought Magnus.
Yeah, that would have been 2013. 2014 was the one in Japan, and then 2015 was the one in not Charlotte.
That nobody watched. When I covered TNA in 2013 for the site and for our old board, and I watched Impact. I actually got into Bully Ray, and I enjoyed that storyline, and I enjoyed, you know, AJ and Sting and Magnus. I was a big Magnus guy, but he's another guy who kind of fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, really, really hard too. Any event,
his wife fell onto those train tracks, Mickey James.
Yes. So the winner of this match, the winner of this team gets the last two spots in the Rumble.
I think I'll go contrarian and I'll say Henry and Swagger win.
Okay. All right.
Just because I think they might think it's impressive to have someone eliminate Mark Henry.
The only way that I'll see the Ascension win is if Connor does the Warlord from 91 and just kind of like it's clotheslined over in 2 seconds by Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I can see that.
That would be great. All right. Let's go to the card. Let's go to the card itself. Five matches, including the Rumble match, which is, of course, for the title. We'll do that last. The tag team titles will be on the line. This continuing feud, and I think this is last shot for the Usos as they will take on the New Day. We don't know what combination. Probably Big E and Kofi with Xavier and his trombone on the outside. A note about Kofi. I know, you know, for a while, even looking at him, you're like, how is this guy really a heel? It's Kofi. He smiles when he says mean things. He's not. But I'll tell you something. When he did that, when he did like the kick shot to, I think it was to Jimmy. I don't know. Obviously they're twins. In his black suit with the white shirt the other night, he actually looked like a heel finally. So I think I finally accepted Kofi as not a face being held hostage, but an actual heel, which I think is pretty cool.
Face being held hostage.
Face being held hostage to be forced to be a heel. He actually now is a heel. Nate,
like,
who do you like?
Like Jim Duggan and Team Canada.
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. Or Jim Duggan doing anything. Watching him, I felt hostage. JD, who do you like here and why?
I'll probably go with the Usos for a couple reasons. One, like you said, it's their last chance. And it's weird. I'll pick the Usos, but I think I'll be wrong in a way. But I think, you know, with having the trombone phased out, I think we may see them shift gears a little bit with the New Day. And this is something I think that should have been done for a while. I think it needs to be a big E vehicle moving forward. I think he needs to be the star of the group, and the others are there to back him up, so to speak. And I think what I would like to see – so my prediction is basically just based off what I'd like. Get the tag belts off them, move them out of the tag division, and keep them together as a unit. You know, don't separate them at all.
Right.
But make it a big E single thing. They can still do tag matches, stuff like that. But I like coming out of it to have Big E, you know, target Dean Ambrose for an IC feud or something like that. Because I think Big E's the star of the group. Xavier is the one that I think people noticed initially. But Big E has the look that they're going to push. He's funny. He's got a ton of personality.
Yeah, his facial expressions are great.
Yeah, and he can work. And I think he's the star of the group. So I think this is a good time to get them out of the tag thing and move it more towards a Big E as the central focus, but keep them as a group, as a unit. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I could see them wanting to wait until WrestleMania for them to finally lose the belts. But if it's going to be the Usos, I think that's too long. I think you got to pull the trigger now. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the Usos kind of fizzle, which they kind of have since they've come back. They've just kind of been, again, second time I've used it tonight, spinning their wheels. So I'll go with the Usos just because that's what I'd like to see.
Okay. What do you think, Nate?
I like that idea. You know, I've been somebody that has said for years that, you know, Big E is somebody that they should have been building around. And you know, going back to a house show I went to in Hampton about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago at this time, after John Cena and Daniel Bryan, the loudest applause on that show was for Big E. And this is during his run with the IC belt.
Yep. Okay.
And so it's like, man, this guy has, he's got the look, he's got a personality, he can work. Why aren't they capitalizing on him? And I'm not going to say why I think they're not capitalizing on him, because I'm sure I'll get into that a little bit later. But I think that that's a great idea, because even if you take the belts off of him and focus on Big E, that's not to say that, you know, Kofi and Xavier can't, you know, have little tag feuds here and there.
Sure.
On the side, but Big E should be the focus. And if the Usos are going to win the belts, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think that the unfortunate thing is they lost a lot of time. They lost a lot of opportunity when, who was it, Jay that got hurt?
Yeah.
When Jay got hurt was kind of coinciding with when the New Day was kind of coalescing. And that would have been a great feud for both of those guys at right. that time. But now it's just like, nobody really cares. But then again, you know, I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth on this one. Who else are you going to put it on? Or, I mean, who are the Usos going to feud with? Because the Loose Dragons are busted up at the time. I don't see them doing anything with the Wyatts. Like, there's not a lot of teams out there. So I have a feeling that this New Day Usos thing is going to drag on and probably go all the way to Mania. So for the Rumble, I say the New Day retains, but they retain in some type of
chicanery,
dastardly way with some skullduggery and some shenanigans, and it gives you a reason for a rematch.
Okay.
Cool.
I kind of like I have a feeling the New Day is going to retain, too. I have a feeling the Usos are going to turn heel soon. I think that the whole, you know, all the stuff going on with on Total Divas. This is a feud where if they didn't have Total Divas, nobody'd care. And I think, you know, I think you're going to see some kind of combo between them and Naomi and that whole crew with Sasha Banks and that kind of thing. So that's what I think. I think New Day retain. I do like Big E breaking off. I just don't know if that'll happen quite yet. I think New Day retain the titles. The Divas Championship on the line. Finally, my girl gets a pay-per-view shot, Becky Lynch. Orange hair and all. It's one thing that Ben Morse and I always disagreed on. He hates Becky Lynch's orange hair. I love it. Takes on Charlotte. She's been a great champion, but has she had like surgery? Her face looks very porcelain lately. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's too much moisturizer or something. When she was sitting next to Flair, well, anybody sitting next to Flair would look pristine because, you know, Flair. Yeah. This isn't 1984 Flair, but
it's like silly putty at this point.
Exactly, but she looks
84. It's not even 94 Flair.
I know, yeah. Like 04 Flair. But she looks like, I don't know, when she was sitting there on Monday on Raw, she just looked so like, I don't know. Look, like she had like her face redone. I don't know. Any event, Nate, what do you think? I think Charlotte retains here. I think it'd be great match. I think it'd be a fantastic match. I like Charlotte to retain.
I agree, and I think that, you know, the thing I'm most pleased about is they finally have hit on something with the Divas. Because for so long, and it's not like it's perfect, because there's still some issues, like on Raw this past Monday, Paige is all of a sudden a babyface again because we got to push Total Divas. You know, it's very convoluted, but I think that the Charlotte Becky feud, once they got past the boneheaded decision to bring up Reed and all that stuff, they've kind of found their footing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that credit goes to your man, the Crypt Keeper, Nature Boy. Because he brings so much to this. I was going to try to move past it.
The daughter will face you for the championship. From the crypt.
This match is going to be a scream.
Charlotte has lost her head.
I think that having Flair injected into this, you know, it makes Charlotte a much better heel. And that's something that she was struggling with for the longest time, is, you know, finding her voice as a heel. And I think that because of that, Becky is now a believable babyface that you can rally around, which is something that I never bought into Becky. Not that she wasn't a good worker, but I don't think they gave me a reason as a creative team to buy into her, because she was just this crazy chick that would pop up and say weird things and be really irrelevant. But now they found kind of a footing for her and a footing for Charlotte. And this is probably, outside of the Rumble match, maybe the match I'm looking the most forward to. And I never thought I'd be saying that. So I think it's going to be a great match. I think that it's got the potential to be a show stealer. But at the end of the day, Charlotte retains. And I don't know where they go from there.
Yeah, I don't either. We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to see. The next night, maybe they'll reestablish something. JD, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Nate said a lot of what I was going to say. I think especially what they've done well is build Becky as the babyface, because I think in a way it's easy to turn Charlotte heel by throwing Rick out there with her and just having her start doing dirty stuff. But Becky was really lost in the shuffle, and they really misfired with her character when they brought her up, like making her, like Nate said, the goofy one. Like, they'd cut promos and she'd say weird stuff just for the sake of weird, and it really didn't work. And now, like, if you listen to her promo on Monday, it was a nice promo, and she actually used her words to talk herself into a title match, because she beat – who did she beat on Monday?
One of the Bellas.
Tamina. I think Tamina, actually.
Oh, Tamina, yeah, because Brie was in the Total Divas Extravaganza match.
That's right, yeah. And so she beats Tamina, and then she says, I want to win the title at the Rumble, and Charlotte laughs, like, you're not going to get a match. And so Becky starts – you know, going after all Flair's mannerisms and catchphrases and stuff, and he snaps and says, fine, you get the title match. You know, I think they've really done a good job of making Becky a solid babyface, which the Diva division hasn't had for a while, because it's like they just fluctuate based on the hour, not even the day.
Right.
And Becky's a solid babyface, and I watched their match on that first SmackDown with Mauro, and it was really good. So I'm looking forward to this match a lot, too. I think it's going to be good. I think Charlotte's going to retain, just because I don't see them giving it to Becky. But I don't know. I don't know who they have in mind to take the belt off of Charlotte. I mean, my instinct says Sasha, but Sasha as a babyface seems a little strange to me. So I don't really know where they go. Maybe they do go for Becky, but I just don't think it would happen this early in the story. So I think Charlotte retains at the Rumble. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good match.
I do too. All right, next up, the United States Championship on the line. I guess you could say this is the rubber match between Alberto Del Rio and Kalisto. Of course, Kalisto won the title last Monday on Raw. And then, for some reason, 3 days later, Del Rio won it back on SmackDown. What do you think, JD? I think there's bigger things in the cards for Del Rio as this year progresses. So I like Kalisto to take the belt here and win the rubber match.
I don't know. I really like Kalisto. He's a lot of fun.
He is.
He really has the Rey Mysterio vibe, you know, especially now that Sin Cara's not there. not that Sin Cara's been as bad as
he's got the Rey Mysterio vibe without the roids and the 80-year-old knees.
Yeah, I'm thinking like WCW Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
So, you know what kind of frustrated me is I wish they wouldn't have done the title switch on Raw and then the switch back. I think... they wanted to do a title switch on SmackDown to make SmackDown special, well, then just have Kalisto win it there. You know, and this is Del Rio's rematch. I think that would have been a smarter way to do it than have it be the rubber match. You know, Kalisto wins on SmackDown, and then we go into the Rumble with Kalisto as the champion. I think, but, you know, can't undo what they've already done. So I think, I feel like I'm saying the same thing. I think it's going to be another good match. I think all the matches on Sunday look good. I really don't know who's – I think Del Rio's going to win just because I think they're selling Kalisto a little too much. Like, can you believe he beat Alberto Del Rio? Almost like a slip on a banana peel type thing. And,
right, right.
So in that sense, I think Del Rio's the one that they're really kind of more interested in keeping strong here. So I think Del Rio will win. I don't know where he goes coming out of it. And I think Kalisto maybe just slips back into a tag with Sin Cara when he comes back. So maybe
when
this
comes
is
back
just
in 2026.
Yeah, but I think maybe this is just a way to keep him on TV. But man, he's a lot of fun to watch, and
he really is.
I think, and you know, he can talk. I mean, he doesn't cut a good promo, but he can talk. You know, so a lot of times when you see a guy in a mask and you wonder if they can even speak English with their name and things like that, they present it in a way that they don't. So to hear him talk and to hear him be able to cut a promo is nice to know if they want to go that way. So, but I think Del Rio's gonna keep the belt here. So,
okay. All right. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, call me cynical, but I think that this whole program is just a kind of a move to pique interest in the Latino markets. Not that that's a bad thing, but sure. It kind of came out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, this whole Del Rio Sin Cara feud, and so or Kalisto, excuse me. Got Sin Cara on the brain.
No, it was Sin Cara feud. He would have won the title, tripped and broke his leg with the belt. So there's a difference.
You know what? Didn't they do the same thing with Sin Cara a couple years ago where he beat Del Rio like randomly and then
yes.
lost the return? And
yep. Yeah, there's no belt involved, but yeah, no, pretty much the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. And so I think that, you know, this is just kind of to give Kalisto some shine. But at the end of the day, who's the guy you have more invested in right now?
Sure.
That's Del Rio. And I think Del Rio's going to retain, and Sin Cara, I keep going back to Sin Cara. Kalisto, I think Kalisto is fantastic, and he's somebody who not only can attract the attention of the adults, but I think the kids more so. Like, they love this dude. Like, he's to them what Ray was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think there's big money down the road for Kalisto. I just don't see them putting that focus on him right now. It'll be a great match, but at the end of the day, Del Rio's going to retain.
You know who I think is going to get hurt if Kalisto catches on with the kids is Neville.
Yeah,
you know, because in a way they're the same character, but you know, you bring Neville up and they taught him as a high flyer, but he doesn't do a ton of flying like Kalisto does. So I think Neville might be hoping that he sprains an ankle or something on Sunday.
And to your point earlier about you know, Kalisto speaking, you know, he's not The Rock, but he's more charismatic to me than Neville.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Next up, probably the secondary. Sorry about that. Secondary main event, other than the Rumble itself. Last man standing for the Intercontinental Championship rematch from TLC. Dean Ambrose to defend against Kevin Owens. This is a tough one for me because
me too.
I'd love to see Kevin Owens win the belt back, but this might be the plate of shit eating stage for Kevin Owens because I still think in June he's going to win Money in the Bank. So I think this is the shit-eating stage. So I think Ambrose will retain here. I think Kevin Owens is going to be in the Rumble, too. And I think he'll have a good showing. But I think this is going to be a great match. It's going to be long. I think there'll be a lot of violence. And I think Dean Ambrose retains, only because, like I said, we've seen this throughout history, guys. Anybody who either A, wins a Money in the Bank, or B, cashes in a Money in the Bank, usually has a little, you know, shit-eating to do
sure.
to that point. So that's why I think Ambrose retains. Because I think Ambrose is the one that's going to be the champion when they hang the belt up in the IC ladder match at WrestleMania. I think he'll be the champion.
You think they'll do a ladder match again, huh?
I do. I think that's going to replace I think that match is going to replace
Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I think we're going to have an IC, ladder match every year now. So, that's my pick. Nate, what do you think?
This is a tough one. You know, I could see them going either way with this. I could see this being the blow-off, or I could easily see them letting this thing roll out into a fast lane. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I like a lot of the points that you brought up. I think that it's weird to say because I think all of us acknowledge, you know, how good Dean Ambrose is. But at this point, I think he needs the belt more than Owens does.
Yeah.
Because Owens has, I don't know what it is, but Owens just has something that kind of jumps off the screen to you. Where at this point, I don't think Ambrose has it as much because maybe it's because of the way he's been booked over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Where Dean Ambrose doesn't feel like he did 16 months ago. And so I think Dean needs this more than Owens. And so I think it'll be a hell of a match. But at the end of the day, Dean finds a way to win. And I think this also helps out Roman Reigns, you know, because he's going to need a partner in this as we continue towards WrestleMania. And even though they seem to have amnesia when it comes to their friendship from time to time, he's the one guy they consistently bring back. So I think, you know, having the IC champ raises the stakes for the authority. If you know, not only do they have to worry about Roman Reigns, but the IC champ is also a thorn in their side. So I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose, even though I think at the end of the day, when we look back a year from now, Kevin Owens is probably going to have a better year.
I agree. I think he's going to have a better year too. But great thinking there, Nate. What do you think, JD?
I think this is the hardest one to call going in because you could see a case for either guy winning. Owens, especially when you look at Ambrose has beat him, I think, two straight pay-per-views now, correct? Because he beat him in the semifinals at the
Rumble.
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series, right, yeah.
Yeah, and then he won the belt from him the next month, right?
Yes.
So
I didn't think of that. Yeah, yeah. Wow, okay.
So it's weird to think that Owens would lose to him 3 months straight, but I think I agree with Nate that Dean needs the belt more. I don't like the stipulation that much.
If there is anything that's been used more than Missy Hyatt, it's a last man standing. It's a last man standing match. So, yeah. Or Sonny's Skype account, however you want to roll with it.
Yeah, to me, it just kind of screams that it's not going to be the conclusion of anything.
Kind of like Backlash 07 with Batista and Taker. They'll just lie there together.
Something like thing. That. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like it's not done with these two. But I think Owens needs to be in the Rumble more than Dean does. I think mm-hmm. Owens needs to be in there and do something important to kickstart his, because I don't see these two being against each other at WrestleMania, because that's kind of what the Rumble is. It sets up the WrestleMania programs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't think this one's necessarily done at the Rumble, but I don't think it's their Mania program with each other either. So I think Dean will keep it, but I don't really know how.
Okay.
So.
All right. And now. Here we are, 30 men, or one versus all. So it's 29. It's a 29. It's apparently it's been booked as a 29-on-1 handicap match, yeah. According to Vince, the breakfast sausage in a suit. I mean, really? And do we have to see him without sleeves on in this? Vince, you really didn't have to put on the 1998 referee shirt, for Christ's sakes. It makes the veins look even more creepy. All right, Roman Reigns, we know, is one. Shot in the dark. Nate, who will be two? Will it be A, Brock Lesnar, B, somebody cool like AJ Styles, or C, some just random hump?
Some random dude. Probably the one of the social outcasts.
Okay. Somebody that
I don't see them going to the Brock card that early. And no. I think if AJ's going to be in it, like my dream scenario is AJ comes in and Joe comes in, and we get a Styles Joe.
Oh yeah,
face to face during the Rumble, like somewhere during the midpoint of the Rumble. So that would be how I would do it. So I think, you know, you need somebody.
I got a great idea. How about Joe, Sting, and AJ in the ring at the same time, and Orlando starts an Impact Zone chant.
And they rip off their shirts, and they're all wearing millionaires clothes.
Yes.
I was going to say, you could bring Kurt Angle in, have the main event Mafia reunion. They just turn on Roman.
The main event Mafia.
Main event Mafia.
You think you got a family? This is real family.
We're real
right
family.
Here.
I don't care that the checks bounce.
Like I knew something was up when they all came to the Rumble wearing suits. Didn't seem normal, but yeah, I think Roman might actually do a deal where Roman just kind of runs through the first three or four competitors, like it's just a bunch of chumps that he runs through.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I like that idea too. With Roman number one, I think two through like eight are going to be a bunch of scrubs, and then nine will be somebody like, you know, maybe one of the League of Nations, like Rusev or something.
Rusev or Sheamus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are going to see AJ. I think that's already been kind of pseudo announced. I think you're going to see Joe. That's actually a good name, Nate, that I hadn't even thought of. I think we will see Joe in the Rumble. Any other NXT guys on your mind? JD?
I don't think Balor's going to be in it.
Nakamura?
No, he's still there. I think he's not done with New Japan until early February.
Oh, okay.
I hope we don't see Baron Corbin.
Oh, Jesus.
the only one I can think of is him, or maybe like an Enzo. Like, you know what I could see is Big Cass in the Rumble, and Enzo comes out and introduces him. You know, like, but Big Cass is the one in the match. I think you could see that.
Hmm.
But other than that, I definitely don't think we'll see Balor. I don't think we'll see Apollo Crews. I don't think any of the tag guys or anything like that. I think Joe's probably the most likely.
Hmm.
So
what about
Joe would probably be the best choice.
When is it Tommy coming back? Or does he have, like, a Sin Cara injury?
Yeah, he's been gone a long time, man.
Been gone since, fucking, what, April?
I mean, when Owens was still down there.
Yeah, remember when he was walking down across the parking lot?
Yeah.
Damn shame.
Sammy. Sammy could be in the Rumble.
I was thinking about Sammy. What do you think, Nate?
It's tough because I think if this were a regular Rumble, there would be plenty of spots for those guys. But due to the storyline they've crafted for this year's Rumble, I don't know if they'd be able to get the proper amount of shine. Like it'd be cool just to see them, but if you're gonna bring up somebody like, you know, Sami Zayn, if you're gonna bring up somebody like Apollo Crews, I'd want it to be more than just a cameo. Like, I think it works for Joe because Joe's somebody that's already established. But if it's gonna be one of the newer guys, I'd like to see them get more shine and get a little bit of a run. And I don't think you can do that in a Rumble where Roman's kind of the A story and, you know, Brock's the B story, and then everybody else is kind of next.
Right.
Yeah. I think the best thing they could do with Sammy is if Owens is in the Rumble, Sammy's not in the Rumble, but he costs Owens the Rumble. Like, he gets him eliminated, you know, because that's clearly a story they're going to go to when Sammy finally does get called up. So what better way to start it than there, you know? So, but I think the best way to do it would be not have him be an entrant, but to just debut and get Owens eliminated somehow.
And
let me say this too. I hope if AJ's in it that he's not in it just to be in it. I hope they have a plan for him, because obviously he's not going to win. So I hope that if he's in there, it's not just he's in there for 10 minutes and gets dumped. I hope, you know, like you said, the Joe showdown is actually a really cool idea. I hope they have a plan for him right away, and not just let's get him on TV as soon as possible, because I think that's always a bad idea, just
kiss
to put somebody out. Yeah, you know, and AJ's a big enough name to where he's not going to get Tyler Breeze or anything like that, but, you know, I hope that they've got something in store if they're ready to trot him out there in a couple days.
What's Brock's number, JD?
Oh, I think it's at least in the 20s. Just because, I mean, the guy throws one suplex and it looks like he's going to have a heart attack because his face is so red. I can't picture him going 35 minutes, man.
I know.
So I think he's in the 20s. Probably not number 30, because I think we all kind of have an idea of who that might be.
Mm-hmm.
So. But not like 29. You know, I think he's going to be in there long enough to
20, like 21. 22.
21 or so. Yep.
Maybe I can't see him any earlier than maybe 18.
Yeah, that's, I think, is the
I can't see him in the single digits.
Nope.
No.
Definitely not.
What do you think, Nate?
I'm thinking somewhere, if we're going to go on the assumption that they do the Joe AJ thing, I think Brock comes in after that. Yeah. I think, you know, once Joe and AJ kind of had their moment and they're, I don't know if you want to eliminate them before Brock or after, but maybe they eliminate each other because they, you know, they want to fight so bad. And then let's say around 22, 23, you know, Roman's kind of the last man in there and he's all hyped and he's like, you know, only seven more to go. Maybe he even holds up seven fingers. If he can count that high, then all of a sudden the Lesnar music hits and it's like, oh shit, here we go.
Right.
You know, and it's those two guys and they're in there killing each other. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, here comes somebody else and they're kind of separated, but there's the whole time between then and number 30, they're trying to get back to each other. And then that's the story until the very end of the match.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think taking a step farther, I think when he comes in, you got Roman in the ring by himself against a faction, maybe League of Nations, maybe the Wyatts, and Brock comes in and cleans house and evens the odds. Then they go at it and get separated again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because you got to give Brock those come in, suplex, toss him dudes, you know.
As Nate alluded to, there's a very strong rumor on who number 30 will be.
Yep.
So let's see. There's probably four common theories on how this match ends. Mm-hmm. Number one, Roman eliminates everybody and keeps it. B, Brock wins it. Mm-hmm. C, this number 30 guy wins it. Or D, we have the Brett Luger Rumble 94 finish where both Roman and Roman and Brock fall out at the same time, which
I think
of course
the worst option
will be a total fucking stinker because it was a stinker in Providence. Although in Providence it was more of an experiment than booked yourself into a corner. They did that on purpose to gauge something. But what do you think, JD? What's your theory? How's it end?
Well, the double elimination is terrible. I can't see Brock winning. I don't know why. I don't think they go with Brock, which I think is part of the issue with Brock Lesnar for the past 6-7 months is he's a guy that they don't want to lose, but they keep booking him in matches that they don't want him to win. You know, which is
that's actually a good point. I like that.
You know, so you know, I don't think he wins. I think they've kind of. I think it was a clever idea at first. Let's have Roman defend the title, but now I think they're kind of backed into a wall. In the sense that if you take it off of him right now, I think there's a large group of people who think that you took it off of him too early. And then if you keep it on him, then you kind of kill off the whole Vince part of the story maybe a little too early. So I really don't know, which I think is a good thing. You know, I think it's a good thing as a fan that's been watching wrestling for so long to be like, I have no idea how the match is going to end. Let me throw out my theory that I know isn't going to happen, but I was just trying to think what's something else I could do. And I put this in my Royal Rumble rebook. What about The Undertaker? I think that's because his WrestleMania plans are out the window.
Yes.
You know?
He went to Dr. James Andrews' office in Birmingham.
Right, yeah. And so really right now they have very few options for WrestleMania, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
It's those three guys. It's Hunter, it's Brock, and it's Roman, and they're not going to do a triple threat match.
Oof.
And so I was thinking about it, and the more I think about it, the more I think it'd be interesting. I don't know if I'd love it, but I think it'd be interesting to have The Undertaker be a surprise winner, because then you could really create some unique stories. You could say, well, did he do it for the authority, or is he going to say screw the authority and say, you know what, I won the title, but Roman Reigns gets a rematch and
stays babyface? Yeah,
yeah. You know, I mean,
and now Reigns
Taker is an interesting matchup.
And now winning or losing at Mania means nothing anymore.
Right, you can have him
might
lose.
As well.
Yeah, yeah. People aren't going to hate Roman for beating the Undertaker at WrestleMania because it's already happened. But then the only thing I don't like about that is then that means do we get Brock and Triple H again? I don't think we do that again, so I really am not sure. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I think my gut says they'll probably do the Triple H comes out and wins. And then we get Roman and Brock at February. Winner gets Hunter, but I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling here, but I think the Hunter win at the Rumble makes sense for how they book, but I just don't see Triple H going into WrestleMania as a champion. Does that make sense? Like, it makes sense to me that he'd win the Rumble, but I don't see him going in as champion. So I don't know. Maybe they got something else up their sleeve.
Triple H wins the Rumble. The next episode, the Chatterbait event. Oh, fantastic. I had to. I had to. I'm not a mod, though. Well, I guess I am a mod. I'm a super mod.
That's right, you are.
Oh, God. I don't
I think the only thing I'm sure of is that Triple H is going to be number 30.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So.
Yeah. Break it down, Nate, for you. What do you think?
I've got one that I'm pretty sure will happen and a theory that is probably never going to happen. So I'll go with the one that's never going to happen first. Because as we've established...
AJ wins the Rumble?
Those are always more fun.
Oh, that'd be great if AJ won the Rumble. It was just champion off the bat. I did this for Sting.
I did it for the Samoans. Oh, wait a minute.
This was for you, Dixie.
And he brings it back.
Oh, that'd be great. We got the TNA invasion.
Oh, God. Their main eventers were like WCW's B show.
Yeah,
here's
right.
World champion Sean Stasiak.
Is that EC3? What's he doing? He didn't work for this company.
Wasn't he that guy that got dumped 3 times in the old NXT? What?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Pour milk on his head.
That's right.
But I think, looking at Orlando, it's if Google Maps is accurate, it's 1 hour and 17 minutes away from Tampa. And, there's a very famous wrestling personality that resides in Tampa. And I want to see Hulk Hogan make his triumphant return in the Royal Rumble.
You?
Well, wait, let me finish because Hulk Hogan
this
returns.
This isn't the Oscars.
He's about to win, but the New Day come out, they toss him out, and the New Day are your co-world champions. And not only am I giving you one black champ, I'm giving you 3 black champs.
These are for all the Tony Atlases in the world.
And then we get just this great moment at the end where all the former black stars, Teddy Long comes out, Butch Reed.
Butch Reed?
Oh, just a great...
Slick Wagner Brown.
Bad News Brown comes out and then storms out angry.
Akeem the African Dreams on the outside, like, can I come in?
Oh, my God.
Like, that's my fantasy world. But in reality, I got to agree with JD. This is all about the game and how you play it. Triple H wins. Triple H is number 30. I do think Triple H is going to win. And unfortunately, I think he holds the belt till WrestleMania, and we get Triple H, Roman Reigns at Mania for the championship.
So you think they'll do Reigns, Brock at Fastlane?
Yeah, for the right to face Triple H. And again, that's another match where you want Brock to look good, but you want him to win, but you don't really want him to win. It's like they keep putting Brock in these situations, these catch-22s, but I think Roman is the guy that they've got the plans for, obviously. And, I think that maybe the only good thing is if we get Reigns, Hunter at Mania, we can finally put the authority to bed for a while because I think that, they've overstayed their welcome.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. That's awesome. Great analysis, great breakdown. And, of course, we'll have Will have his reaction show, pretty sure, on that evening. And then we'll talk about it in a few weeks. All right, guys, before we go, we know what our new gimmick here on Main Event. Each of you gets the unlimited 2. Virgil, we'll start with you. You think Virgil will come out? Or you think they'll just beat the shit out of him because it doesn't matter what color he is, it's still Virgil.
I mean, Virgil is all about that fuck money. So if
exactly.
If the check clears, Virgil will come in and do the quick. He'll do like the quick JBL elimination spot.
Yeah.
You think we get one of those this year?
Bushwhacker Luke?
JBL or Or maybe
or what's his name?
Moro. Moro's gonna be in the Rumble.
Oh, Moro.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Poor bastard. This is your hazing. All right. Mr. Duncan, you have 2 minutes.
Okay.
Starting now.
All right. I wasn't entirely sure what I was going to spend my 2 minutes on. And as you were talking, I was hoping something would come up. And actually, something came to my mind that we didn't mention tonight. If you're not on Twitter, you probably have no idea of this. But there is an account at Bronson WWE. Didn't have any idea who this person was until I clicked on it. And it is actually a tough enough champion who, I don't know why his name's Bronson Matthews, because he was Josh the Yeti when Tough Enough was on. But he got himself into some hot water on Monday night during the Social Outcast match when they were all defeated by The Big Show within a minute. He decided to tweet something with the hashtag Social Jobbers. And for the next day, many, many members of the WWE locker room tore into him on social media. And the one that really stuck in my mind was Stardust said something about have fun dressing in the hallway, you prick. And it made me think that in 2016, with all the advances we've seen, even in wrestling, wrestling at its core still is a weird, weird world that has weird, weird rules and weird, weird etiquette. No other place of business in the world do you have these codes of conduct that are unwritten where you have to shake the right person's hand or you don't get to eat lunch or you have to say the right things or you're going to get crapped on. And I don't really pity him because it's a stupid thing to do. Just keep your mouth shut if you're a nobody. But I do feel for him in the sense that he may have broken a law that one of those unwritten laws that I think probably need to go away at this point. I don't know if we have any wrestlers listening to our podcast. I don't know if people in the business listen. But kayfabe's done. The business is exposed as it's ever been. Let's drop the behind-the-scenes act. Let's drop these wrestler courtroom things. Ah, crap. Okay.
But good point, though. No, you're almost – it sounds like you were almost done anyway. So.
Yeah, I was.
excellent, excellent. All right, Virgil.
All right.
Send us home.
The guy Virgil.
You like that. If you're going to, if you're going to compare me to Marcus Corvon,
right. Can I at least be the good father or D'Lo Brown representing Luxembourg?
Luxembourg? Helsinki? All right, Nate, your 2 minutes starts now.
All right. For anybody that is a avid listener of the Kings of Sport, you know that I recently quit smoking, and I'm going on 2 weeks now, so that I've got that going for me, which is nice, using my blue e-cig as we speak, because like Steven Dorff, I'm trying to get my freedom back. But I've got some things that the WWE needs to quit. First and foremost, heel authority groups. We need a moratorium on heel authority groups. This thing should have been done at Survivor Series when Sting helped Dolph Ziggler beat the authority, and then that should have been it. That should have been no more authority after that. But no, we got to keep it going. So I'm hoping that in 2016 we can finally see the end of heel authority groups. Second on the list, recycling angles from the Attitude Era. I know Jim Cornette said that every 7 years, wrestling fans forget what happened 7 years ago, but I haven't forgotten. I never forget. Come up with some fresh ideas or get a new creative team. How about that? Finally, the Divas. I need you guys to quit being so inconsistent with the Divas. Are they baby faces? Are they heels? This girl like this girl, this girl like that girl. Oh, we're going to change the script just because we got to promote Total Divas because Vinny needs some money. But let's be consistent. If this is truly a revolution, if you truly want the fans to care about these women, let's write them better. Let's write them consistently. And let's stop flip-flopping on things. So the WWE, you need to quit with the heel authority figures, quit recycling Attitude Era angles, and of course, quit being so inconsistent with the Divas, because if you don't, maybe the fans will quit watching. How about that?
All right, and you had 12 seconds left. I've been trying to keep tabs on people.
I don't even need the 12 seconds. I just put that in the bank for somebody for next week.
There you go. I've been trying to keep
it. I'll use it right now. Quit having Big Show matches.
Ha ha ha! Oh, one last thing, JD, before we go. Will Kane come out twice? Will he pull a Mick Foley 98?
Oh.
I sure hope so.
Great job, guys. Due to scheduling snafus, you know, not snafus, due to some scheduling issues with podcasts, we won't be back in 2 weeks. We'll be back in 3 weeks. Okay. So chew on the rumble, and we'll be back in 3 weeks to get you ready for Fastlane, which will be on February 21st in LeBron's backyard, Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. For Nate, for JD, I'm Scott. You've been in the main event. Good luck, Roman Reigns, on Sunday. Good luck, Hulk Hogan, on Sunday, wherever he may be. Enjoy the rumble.
What if number 30 is Kane, but it's actually Triple H, like in Kane's gear? That'd be awesome.
And Stephanie's dressed like Katie Vick.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Live sex celebration on Raw the next night.